Welcome back on the musical biography of the Platters. This music in the 50s and 60s is becoming very rare these days simply because of life itself. Word came today that one of the great groups, Four Tops, lost one of their members, Levi Stubbs. The Platters and the Four Tops started in the 50s, reaching out across color lines to entertain millions around the world with a new kind of music, rock and roll. Let's get back to the Platters. The Platters were a big group from 1953 when they were formed, shortly after that, until now. There are still Platters groups going on today. Gene Bennett is our guest. And Gene, let's get back there to that first record, Only You, and You're Going to Philadelphia. And I think the American Bandstand was an interesting story.
And then when I started traveling and meeting Philadelphia, I had to go. I was told by the distributors in Philadelphia that I had to go to Bob Horn, but he had the first dance program where all the kids come to dance.
Dick Clark. Dick Clark, I think, replaced him.
He did. He replaced him because he had to. Because I mean, Bob Horn got ran out of town on a rail just about. But anyway. So they told me, they said, you're bringing in new records. Buck was recording all these artists, and I was started peddling these records to the distributors and trying to get them to take it.
Other artists you were handling?
Oh, my goodness. We had the Penguins, the Flares, Shirley Gunter.
I remember her.
Cornell Gunter.
Were they related?
They were brother and sister.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never put that together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the Platters went over great with the American Bandstand group because it was a slow dance. How many Platters groups have you had over the years, Gene?
I will definitely count them.
I guess that would be hard to keep track of. You don't really remember, huh? You interchange them, one or two here and there. How about that girl singer?
the first one.
We found Zola Taylor. She was 15 years old. And Buck thought that she would help spark the group. And she certainly did. She was... I went out with her the very first night that she appeared on stage with him, and he couldn't go for some reason or other. And he said, "How'd she do?" And I said, "Well, she didn't do much." I said, "She's cute, but she just kind of clenched her fists and, you know, shut her eyes almost to sing." But I said, he said, "Oh, you wait till I get through with her." He said, "She's going to be something." He had found her in Shirley Gunter's group. Mm-hmm. And he asked Shirley, he said, "Shirley, you got a girl I would love to put with the Platters." He said, "Would you get mad at me if I did?" She said, "No, if it's an opportunity for her, of course not." He said, "Well, I appreciate that." But he said, I have a feeling about Zola Taylor." So Zola came to join with the group. And boy, did she live up to his expectations. She was the cutest. And when she went down, they went down, their first time out of the country, I think, was South America. They went down with they were down there about 6 months. And they were totally recognized before, you know, that's when Only You and the Great Pretender hit. Mm-hmm. Well, they were down there. And that's where we realized that we actually had an international act.
And the Platters are known around the world, even today.
They had far more success, faster, in all those countries because we had been traveling. We'd been to the Philippines, we had been to, you know, mm-hmm. and they were popular.
Well, in the Orient, talking about the Pacific, the Platters were always big.
Yeah. So it was, and then we got a chance to go to the Olympia Music Hall from South America. Joe Glazer was our agent. And there again, something happened. We had signed with Bob Phillips in the California office, and he had lost the contract. Joe Glazer in New York heard about the Platters from Irving Feld, who owned 9 record stores in the Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. He had 9 record stores, and he used them as a barometer for all the new records coming out. He had everybody alerted. Anything that starts stepping out, I want to be the first to know. Irving Feld.
Mm-hmm. People right, you know, there. Gene, we've talked about the Great Pretender all through the show. Let's play the song.
Oh, yes, I'm the Great Pretender. Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the Great Pretender. Adrift in a world of my own, I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to grieve all alone. Conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the Great Pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown, I seem to be, but I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. You're still around. Too real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the Great Pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown, like a crown, pretending that you're still around.
That was The Great Pretender, one of the big hits by the Platters, one of the first ones, as a matter of fact, Gene Bennett. The interesting thing about all of this, I think, is Buck Ram himself. He was a big band arranger, big band music fan, yet he became the king of rock and roll. An early pioneer in soul music, really.
Bringing out the very best in these people. They didn't even know they had.
Well, it was a coming thing, and he used to slip in. He told many times about slipping into the black church in their neighborhood in Chicago when he was growing up. He loved to hear them sing, and that rhythm and the way they, you know, it was so contagious to him. And so he always had an affinity for black singers and black musicians, and he traveled. He went out on those old tours where they had the touring cars with the canvas covers in the winter. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Welk had his band, and you know, he traveled back and forth over those hills for many, many years before he ever really made it in California. And he'd come in after paying all the guys off, and he'd ask Buck if he could spend the night on the couch because he was broke.
Yeah. You know, Gene, events, luck, play such a role in success in show business, whether we're talking about the Planters, Lawrence Welk, Guy
Lombardo. Really phenomenal, because there again, if it hadn't happened just the way it did, and we hadn't played just the right places when we did, yeah, it could have gone completely haywire.
That's the magic and also the misery of show
business. That's the truth. Some things just can't happen, and yes, other things happen that you least expect.
It just come out of the blue.
Yeah, that's why it's such a fascinating business. I know it's hooked me all my life. I never did get to sing up to my expectations, but I've had such a good time with all the other singers. And
well, the interesting thing about the Platters is I don't guess they had a final concert or anything. I mean, they never really officially broke up.
No.
They just kept replacing
just kept replacing. Okay. Yeah, we kept replacing, but we had a pretty much of a breakup in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It was inevitable because Tony was such an alcoholic that he was just destroying himself. And we got him before that happened. Right after that happened, we'd still managed to get him with Reprise Records, Frank Sinatra's label.
The big label.
And you could get the magazines, any kind of domestic magazine, and there was Frank Sinatra ads and everything, you know. But we sent, the last time we sent Tony to over to Japan, He went on stage, and he was so drunk he could hardly stand up, and they fired him. They sent
Why don't
him
we play My Prayer? I think that was the best thing Tony did, don't you?
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart. And here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day, in a dream that's divine. My prayer is a rapture in blue, with the world far away and your lips close to mine. Oh, tell me the words give. May they still be the same for as long as we live.
I always liked your group you had down at the Four Queens.
That was a great run.
Yeah, they were great people.
Yeah, I had Monroe Powell with me for 25 years.
And who was the guy at the D-Boy? Williams?
Gene Williams.
Yeah, right.
And he's still around town. Every once in a while, we'll send him out with our group now. Right now, our group is doing mainly weekends or, you know, one-nighters and... It's the business has changed quite a bit. Now, we just got him back, however, from a month in Australia, and they want us back next year.
Well, we have lots of listeners in Australia.
They're very popular, but they're still, and so many of the groups, the people that I hired, they went and formed groups. And, you just can't keep up.
I remember the Platters in some of those old Alan Freed movies, and maybe Dick Clark, too, I don't know. Buck Ram... he went to Europe, but I remember the Platters were doing a lot of standards.
Oh, yeah. He selected and he arranged them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he recorded a number of the albums over in Paris or in England, they would send David Carroll over to work with Buck. Buck would have the group have their parts, and he'd have the arrangement sketched out. And then he would go over everything with David Carroll for a day or so, and then David would hole up for about 3 days. We wouldn't even see him, and he'd come out and he'd have all these big orchestrations for 25 piece orchestras, and Buck was right there, and they arranged too,
so he understood what,
what
kind of work.
Buck told him, I said, I want to hear this here, and I want and he had already sketched them out.
Now this was an old song when you recorded it 50 years ago. That was an old standard from the 30s by Jerome Kern.
Ask me how I knew my true love was true. Oh, I falsely blind. Something here inside cannot be denied. They said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes. I chant them and I gaily laugh to think they could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
Gene, I think you've had a love affair with life, period. Jean Bennett, you're in your 80s. You look great.
I guess love of life more than anything else.
you're very youthful.
So I love what I'm doing. You know, I am looking forward to some very big things next year.
So you're not about to give up.
I'm not about to give up. And with the help of my doctor and Fosamax, no osteoporosis.
No, you bounce around like a young woman. That's what I meant by that.
Well, it is. I do think it's the will, and I just really enjoy what I'm doing. Sure, we have our ups and downs. Everything does. But I think, tomorrow's a better day, so, you know.
Jean Bennett, it's been a thrill. Our time's up, unfortunately. You need to write down a detailed record of all of your things in the music business. I mean, it's incredible.
You got to write a book.
It's great history.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get everything calendared, and I've got some people that are interested in helping me.
Thank you for taking the time to tell our audience about the Platters. This has been our musical biography on the Platters, the great soft rock group of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It keeps going. Thanks for listening, everyone. Roberta Scott, our on-location producer. Jane Swartley, our web producer. Until next time, cheers.